Welcome to the Mortgage Update with Dan Frio. For over 10 years, Dan has been helping AM 1160 listeners. With so many companies to choose from and hundreds of loan options, the mortgage process can be confusing and costly. Be sure to listen each day for Dan and learn the difference between FHA, VA, and conventional loans. You'll also learn how to negotiate lower interest rates and fees, as well as steps to buying your first home and whether refinancing makes sense. Stay tuned to find out why Chicago's top realtors are choosing Dan Frio.
Welcome back to the Mortgage Update with Dan Frio. I, of course, am Dan Frio. I won't bore you with all the details of how to get a hold of me, but the best way to get it is 630-338-1160, and you'll get me personally. You won't get a reception. You won't get automated tellers. You won't get all that stuff. If by chance I don't answer, I might be with a client. Somebody will answer. They'll take a message, and I'll get back with you personally as soon as I can. If you prefer emails, you can reach me at Dan, D-A-N dot Frio, F-R-I-O, at gmail.com. Or check me out on the web, 1160mortgage.com. We are going to continue the question and answer session with George, the producer.
Hello.
What's up, dude?
Oh, everything.
So we're going to go, we're going to keep the theme going today on questions. The whole point of the show is to educate people. I'm not trying to bore you to death on mortgages. You're probably not tuning in unless you really want to learn about this, or you're in the process or thinking about buying a home or getting involved in real estate or things like that. If you would, if there's something you want me to cover on the show, email me, call me, let me know, saying, Dan, it would be nice if you elaborated on this. I won't only do a radio show on it. I will do a YouTube video on it so you can see it visually and you can hear it as well. So I'll dig into this as much as I can. Again, I'm doing this to educate you so you're not taken advantage of, or you don't go down this road and hit a brick wall, or you don't get falsely declined a loan that you would otherwise qualify if you made one more phone call. So, what's up, George?
Hi.
Let's go on to, here's a question that I get a lot, and most of the time when I can't help a client, there's one of two, well, it could be one of two or three things. The pieces of the puzzle to get a mortgage is your income, your credit, and your down payment.
Yeah, okay? Makes sense.
So income, we can't do anything about your income. You make what you make.
You might be able to, but we can't.
Okay. So you make what you make. And even if you said, you know, I come back and say, you know, you don't qualify. You don't make enough income for this. There might be ways around it. Get a cosigner or something like that.
That, and sometimes you don't make what you make on paper. So if you're self-employed in some situations and stuff like that, there's sometimes where you just can't prove up that income.
Right.
And you have to have the track record of having it for, what was it, how long, a year?
2 years.
2 years in some cases.
Well, yeah. Some of the programs, there are other programs that we have.
Right.
There are programs, if you're self-employed and you've been doing it for 5 years or more, we can go with a 1 year. A lot of people don't know that.
You're just using bank records at that point.
No. That is your tax returns.
Oh, your tax. Okay.
1 year of tax returns. So if you had a gangbuster, you know, 2018, but 2017 was terrible, let me know.
You might be in luck.
But there are that we just came out and we had a show about it a couple weeks ago about it. We do have a bank statement program for those in that situation. For example, here's where I see it a lot is I have a couple truck drivers. Right now, that are
I can imagine that. Yeah, truck driver, Uber drivers,
it's crazy.
All kinds of, yeah.
Because in their situation, you're writing off. If you like, one client I have has multiple trucks, so
it's a lot of gas,
a lot of depreciation.
Yeah.
You're really not even paying.
Yeah,
you got to think of it. You bought a truck for $100,000. You know, the first year you might write off $15,000.
Yeah. That's not part of your adjusted gross income.
Right. Yeah. But you didn't really lose that money. You didn't write out a check for $15,000 saying that it had depreciated.
Right.
You're taking a tax write-off for that. So now we can add back $15,000 to your income. However, the bank statement program, I wasn't anticipating going down this route. But
I'm sorry.
There's a no, not at all. A bank statement program on that truck driver, what we could do is we could use 12 months of his business and add up all his deposits. And then we come out, we create an expense factor.
Yeah.
So let's say let's say that the you're a driver or you're a commissioned salesperson or you're paid a 1099 or you're self-employed.
Yeah.
That truck driver might have had $500,000 in income. Okay? Might sound like a lot, but it's truly not a lot once we bring all this down.
Yeah, especially once you see how much it takes to fill like a Peterbilt with diesel.
Yeah.
Oh.
So you have gas, you have tolls, you have depreciation, you have insurance, you have maintenance. That could dwindle down to $80,000.
Yeah.
Okay? So what we do in this situation, we add up all the deposits, say it's 500. Let's say I'm going to take that example. That truck driver netted, he grossed 500,000 in receipts. He on his taxes, he made $80,000. Okay? With this bank program, we're going to go through and we're going to add up all his deposits and those will come to 500,000. We'll work with their accountant to come up with an expense factor. And usually it's much lower than what's actually deducted from his taxes. So let's say in this example, he's got a 50% expense ratio. Now what we can use for him is a $250,000 a year income. Far cry from the $80,000 that is truly on his tax returns.
Yeah,
did we do anything
wrong?
No. It's truly what
it's legit.
He put in the bank. He's making these deposits. Here's his factual expenses. The depreciation isn't a true expense. You know, things like that can be added back in. But in his case, he went from making $80,000 to $250,000. Now he can qualify for probably a little bit bigger home.
You think?
Yeah.
A little bit.
So that's that part of it. So I hope that made sense to you. So we went down a realm that I didn't anticipate going down. But
that's all right. We can get back on track.
We started this by saying, what was my question to you? Oh, what it takes to qualify for a mortgage. Sorry, got spun off there. Income, credit, down payment. Probably the biggest thing, income is what it is. Yeah. And there's ways that, please call me if I can wean you through some of these areas. Credit, that's probably my biggest stumbler.
Yeah.
Down payment or lack of, I can help you with grant programs. I can help you, you know, working with your realtor to get your closing costs down.
Yeah.
I can help you in a lot of areas there.
Yeah.
Okay. Credit, I can't.
No, and even if you can, it takes, not you, but even if you as a consumer can, you the person listening, it takes months for them to show any difference, even if it's a clear cut. Like I had a clear cut. We talked about it a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
I had very clear cut scenario where this wasn't supposed to be on my credit report. It was absolutely erroneous and it took months.
Yep.
Months.
So here's what I'm asked a lot is, who can I get to help me? There are a bazillion credit repair companies out there. There's, well, I'll say a billion and one. A billion of them are probably not very good. They charge you. They'll send a dispute letter. They all have just a templated format that they go through.
They're things you can do for yourself.
Yes.
Yeah.
DIY. And that was really the creation behind credit scores and more to help people do these things. And then there is a credit agency or a credit repair company at the end of that, those steps to basically, you know, saying, you know, I can't do this. I'm going to go back to you on one second. Well, the credit report repair companies, if you would, there are some good ones out there. But let me go through some scenarios with you on how you can do some things on your own, DIY. So if you go to credit scores and more, the biggest, like on yours, you said there was erroneous stuff on your credit report. Did you know that before you applied for the mortgage?
Not the first time, no.
Okay. So
this is why I had said in the last time we talked, which is, you know, call the mortgage guy first.
Yeah. So here's in if you go to that credit scores and more, I don't mean to keep talking about this, but it's a huge piece of everybody's life is your credit scores. Complete step one. It's a free system. It'll give you things on there. You got to do it. Because you have to see what's on your credit report. The thing I would highly stress is get your true credit reports, not just TransUnion alone, not Experian alone, not Equifax alone, all of them. I would almost promise you one out of every three people that pull their credit, you're going to see things on there saying, Dan, that's not me. That is not me. That's not accurate. That's been paid off. That collection is zero now. I paid it off. That judgment has been cleared for years.
Yeah, I've seen that in a lot.
That will affect you. And going back to when we come back, here's what I'm going to give you guys a few simple tricks. I did a video on this, and this video has almost hit 100,000 views. How to increase your credit scores 100 points within 30 days. Can it be done? George, can it be done?
I don't know. My experience suggests that it would be kind of tough.
Otherwise, yeah. So there are some things in there that's, you know, one of the segments that we had recently is, you know, I made a kind of a spoof off of a YouTube video or a couple YouTube videos that went viral. How to pay off your $300,000 house in 5 years. Can it be done?
Yeah. You first step, you rob a bank.
Yeah. So my spoof was basically, you know, one out of, you know, 99 people can do it.
Yeah. To be clear, you were spoofing people who are saying, here's how to pay off your $500,000 house in 3 years.
Yeah. So, you know, can it be done? Yeah. But 99% of the time, the math doesn't add up. You don't make enough money to do that.
No, you still need
real
to eat.
Life
your
stuff.
Kids need clothes.
Yeah.
You got to put gas in your.
So when we come back, I'm going to give you a couple, I'll call them hacks or tricks on how to get your credit scores fixed, or not fixed, how to increase your credit scores fairly fast, believe it or not, that really, really, really work. They're not, you know, fly-by-night stuff or you know, don't know what to say on that, but come back.
Nothing we can say on the radio.
No, I'll give you a few tricks on how to increase your credit scores pretty quick. And we're going to go over some more questions with George. So God bless you. Please come back in 2 minutes. Welcome back to the Mortgage Update with Dan Frio. I, of course, am Dan Frio. All right. Here is tip, trick, hack number one. That we're talking about right now is ways to get your credit scores up. And a video that I have, check it out on YouTube. It's how to increase your credit scores 100 points within 30 days. I think it's 30 days or a week or something like that. Can it happen? Yeah, it can happen, believe it or not. Here's probably the biggest area on where people can pick up some points. So the utilization rate of, that's a big word. I can't even spell it. So bear with me.
UTIL.
Don't make a little bit. The utilization rate on your credit report or your credit account. Let's say, for example, and I'll break down what a utilization rate is. Again, not trying to bore you, but the whole point is to educate you a little
bit. It's worth knowing.
Let's say you go out and get you want a credit card. It was Christmas time. You were at Kohl's and you bought something and they said, you know, you get Kohl's cash if you apply for a credit card. Okay. Well, you bought a sweatshirt and a pair of pants and it was $100. So they put you in to get a credit card and they were like, okay, we'll give you a $250 instant credit approval.
But they're not. Some bank is.
Yeah, some bank is.
Yeah, so they love, retailers love doing that. We're going
to
get you.
They have to get a kickback of somehow, some way, some whatever.
Of course.
So, but let's say on that, you spent $100. Let me up that a little bit. We'll say $100. And they instantly gave you a $250 credit limit. All right? So then you're like, oh, this is pretty cool. So a couple days later, you go back and you get another sweatshirt. You use some of your Kohl's cash.
Grab a tie and a belt.
Yeah, you spend another $100. And you put it on that credit card. So within that time period, you bought two things for $100. So you bought $200 worth of stuff at Kohl's. You have a credit limit of $250. Okay? So now you're like, okay, well, I only owe $200, so that can't really affect me. It's affecting you huge.
It's because a percentage of your cap, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So in that case, I don't know the math on the top of my head. Here, let me do it with my smartphone.
Well, 200 out of 250, it's 80%.
Okay, 80%. You're at an 80% utilization rate. You're good. You need to get in the mortgage business, buddy.
No, I've been trying to get out of doing math my entire life.
So you're at an 80% utilization. The sweet spot is 30 or below. Okay? So the first thing is you only have a $250 limit.
Yeah.
You could do one of two things on this. What I would suggest you do is don't spend any money or pay anything down if you don't have it. So you owe $200 on the $250. You're going to make the minimum payment, most likely, let's say. But I don't want you to spend any money to do any of this stuff. I want you to call Kohl's.
Yeah.
And say, you know what, could you up my limit to 1,000?
Yeah.
You know, it's probably
still
pretty
easy. Don't spend that.
Easy. Yeah, don't spend it. It's probably pretty easy to get them to okay you at $1,000 if you have pretty good credit. Okay? So now you owe $200 on a $1,000 limited account.
Yeah. Now you're 20%.
You the man. You are the man.
That's easy math.
I almost got that one. So just by doing that, you didn't spend any money. You didn't make a payment. I'm not saying don't make any payments. You got to make payments or you're going to get bad credit. Right. You didn't do anything other than make a phone call.
Right.
And ask for a credit limit. Here's the question I always get asked, though. Well, to increase their credit, my credit limit, aren't they going to pull my credit? They might.
Yeah.
Most likely.
Yeah.
What's it going to affect you? Maybe a point or two? Maybe.
Yeah, for 90 days.
You know, maybe.
Yeah.
But if you could pick up, you're probably going to pick up between zero and 100, 120 points. So if let's say it would have gone up 100 points. You take off the 2 points that you got hit because of they pulled your credit again. You picked up 98 points on your credit report for really doing not much anything other than making a phone call. That is the number one thing that I would suggest people do. How do you find this information, though? Do you know what your high credit limit is on every one of your accounts? Probably not. So if you, and I'm not promoting this credit issue, this credit scores and more thing. I hope you use it. But credit is huge. It's a I can't emphasize how big of a piece of your life this is.
It's the number one thing that's going to stand between you and a house.
You in a car.
Yeah.
You in a credit card.
Yep.
You in a maybe a job. You might get that credit card, but it's going to be a 28% rate versus free financing for a year.
Well, I think so many people don't know what helps and hurts their credit.
Yeah.
I had accounts that we had paid off after having pulled our credit. We said, okay, let's pay off this one and close it. Let's pay off that one and close it. Let's keep these open and make sure we're down below a certain amount. And it hurt us. And that's when I found out that, you know what, you should keep about 15% in there. They want you to be using the credit that you have.
Absolutely. And that's another thing is, if you pay off that account, God bless you. You paid it off. Don't close it.
Don't close it. Leave it open.
Don't close it. And the first thing you would think of
cut up the card.
Yeah, yeah. If you had, let's say you had 8 credit cards.
Yeah.
You paid 2 off and closed them. To you, to me, it makes sense. You're better.
It's less of a liability. That's less of a chance of you spending money you don't have.
But it's not. And that's where a lot of people get. Here's two long-term things I could stress since we're on this point.
Yeah.
If you, God bless you, if you paid off your credit card, don't close it. Do not close the accounts.
Right.
You know, conversely, if they're charging you $100 a year to keep it,
right?
If you
find something without the annual fee, or
and you could do that, and I'll plug the credit scores and more thing again. I hate to say that, but this is where why this thing was created. If you do step one, it's free. You can go in there and it'll scan your credit system, all your credit profile, and say this credit card you're at a 98% chance of getting. So you can scan in that system, and it'll say, you know, I don't want to pay an annual fee. And I don't want to pay, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I want the lowest rate possible. You plug in those filters, it'll find you the card and then give you the percentage chance of you getting approved. So that's that part of it.
That's
so
handy.
Now let's go on a 30 to 45 day fix. Okay. The utilization rate is one big thing. Paying you, now spending some money, let's say they won't grant you an increase. Okay. Because your credit score is too low. Because your utilization rate's too high.
Yeah.
On that credit card, well, now you have a $250 limit. We owe $200. Now we want to get you below 30%. So pay that down to $70. $50.
Yeah.
Wait 30 days. Your credit, your scores, I can't guarantee will go up, but there's a highly, highly likelihood that they will.
Yeah.
So that's that part of it.
Can I tell you what we do? Not to interrupt you.
Yeah, sure.
We spend money we know we're going to spend. So money you would otherwise use. So
point.
I can use my debit card and it comes straight out of my account. Or I can, at a small, because we don't have any super high interest rate cards, at a small fee, I can use, you know, a card or something like that and buy my gas or buy my groceries.
Well, there's everybody has perks,
so,
too.
Yeah, we have an account that we use to pay our electric bill and our gas bill. We have an account that we use for gas. We have an account that we use for groceries. That's all we use those cards for.
You're going to pay
those anyways. And that's
money
you're spending anyway.
Yeah.
So you just
get free money for a month.
You spend it back in, and then, yeah, we leave 15% rolling in there.
Yeah. And you got free money for a month because there's that lag period of when, you know, when the interest kicks in. And then every one of these cards has perks.
Oh, yeah.
I remember not too long ago, I'm like, you know, we needed to fly somewhere. I think my son played, he was playing football.
Yeah, my wife's the king of points programs.
And dude, I went into the account, I plugged it in, and we never even really checked it. We went to his football game in Texas. We flew down there, rented a car, and had a hotel all for free.
Yeah, just travel
and
points.
We didn't even know we had those credit points, but we had a ton of points, and you know, basically that whole trip was for free. So the next thing is, here's another big point of this is collection accounts. Okay, I'm going to dive on this because this is another area where a lot of people get kind of confused. They have a collection account, and let's say, you know, everybody has medical bills. All right, so you have a $1,000 medical bill, and it is from 2013. So your assumption would be, if I pay off that collection account, that's going to help me. No, it's going to hurt you. Here's why. With the system or the credit system is reading, it's reading that it is a collection. It doesn't care about the amount, and it's reading the year 2013. Every year, it's having a less impact on you, on your credit score, as that sits on your credit report. So what happens is, believe it or not, you go in there and you pay off that collection. Well, the word collection isn't going away. The word collection stays there. The amount changes, but the amount is irrelevant. It's irrelevant. What changed, though, is the date of last activity. You went from it was last active in 2013 to now it is last active currently, and we're in 2019. So it's saying it went from being 6 years old to current.
Yeah.
You just shot yourself in the foot, and it could be big.
Yep.
I greatly, greatly, greatly appreciate you guys listening. Please come back tomorrow. And if you'd like to reach out to me and give me any comments on how we're doing, what you'd like us to do more of or in detail or just some areas that you want us to concentrate on, please let me know. You can call me at 630-338-1160. You can find me on the web at 1160mortgage.com or email me at dan.frio@gmail.com. God bless. Take care.
You've been listening to The Mortgage Update with Dan Frio. For over 10 years, Dan has been helping AM 1160 listeners. With so many companies to choose from and hundreds of loan options, the mortgage process can be confusing and costly. Be sure to listen each day for Dan and learn the difference between FHA, VA, and conventional loans. You'll also learn how to negotiate lower interest rates and fees, as well as steps to buying your first home and whether refinancing makes sense.